Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Sam Grass in Atlanta, nice. Georgia. I know I started off well this morning. Joining me this morning is Lee Cantor, our producer, and also with us is Brad Culp in Dallas, Texas. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Sam. How are you this morning?
Well, besides being tongue-tied as usual, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, we might as well get it out of the way early, right?
Well, the problem is, even though it's early, it won't be out of the
way. It won't be, totally out of the way.
Like Chicago voting, right? Early and often.
That's it.
Okay, come on. You do your deal now.
Well, how's the weather there today?
Hot and humid.
Hot? Yeah, it's hot here, too. 95, 96 degrees today. And, you know, it just doesn't seem like it's going to get any cooler before September. But, you know, we forget that the other side of the world is in the middle of winter right now. So one of my trivia items this morning is that in 1983, the lowest temperature ever recorded on the planet was recorded in Vostok Station in Antarctica. Take a guess how cold.
Minus 62 degrees Fahrenheit.
Negative 120.
This isn't quite proper, but double that, minus 129 degrees.
See, I was closer.
Imagine.
That's kind of.
I'm glad I don't have to go there. Other bit of trivia, and, you know, you're going to ask me to link this to the show, and these guys are both senior citizens now. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin set foot on the moon today. What was it, 41 years ago, I guess.
Wow. And, Sam, so, you were in college, right, when that happened?
You're right. I was in college.
let's go ahead and date him. But anyway, well, that's it. Short trivia this morning. But we've got a full house. We've got two guests in Atlanta this morning, and we have two guests here in Dallas. In Atlanta, we have Bob Brinson. He is a personal chef of the company called Gourmet Innovations. And we have Raquel Busto. She is a vocalist, and she performs at various senior facilities around the Atlanta metro area. In Dallas, we have Rochelle Carruthers, and we have Mariana Clement, both from Texas Health Dallas, and specifically they focus in the movement disorders area with diseases such as Parkinson's. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get started here in Dallas with Rochelle Carruthers and Mariana Clement. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here this morning. I think the way we typically start this is just have you give us a little bit of background. So, Rochelle, if you could start and just give us a little background on you, where you grew up, where you went to school, how you got involved in senior services.
Well, I would be happy to. I actually grew up in Montana. I got my bachelor's degree in marketing from the University of Utah. And then I moved to Texas in 2006 and decided to pursue something in social services. I feel like we have a lot in this country, and it's a responsibility to give back. So I'm actually pursuing my master's in social work at UT Arlington. And I was very fortunate to hear about this job, which really allows me to combine the business experience of building the program and also the social services of really trying to help people with movement disorders have access to the services that they need.
So, wow, Montana.
Yes.
Montana, and then did you move to Utah to go to school, or did you go to Utah and then go back to Montana?
Well, I went to Utah, and then I ended up finishing school there. I had started school at the University of Montana in Missoula.
Okay. Wow. And in what, I forgive my ignorance in geography, but the University of Utah, is that in Salt Lake?
That is in Salt Lake, yes. Okay. It's almost downtown.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. Pretty area. Are you a skier or snowboarder?
I'm not, which is why I'm here. It was very cold. I was good at drinking hot cocoa in the lodge, but not the skiing part.
Wow. So what made you pick Dallas then?
Well, we moved here for family. Okay. Had some family that's close and some family that's in Oklahoma, so this was about as close to there as we were willing to go, but we've really enjoyed being here.
Okay. And you said that, you kind of decided to get involved in social services. Was there some kind of event that drove you in that direction or something?
Well, I mean, it's always been an interest. I've always felt strongly that people that are fortunate enough to have certain advantages should, you know, be caring and thoughtful towards those who don't. And, you know, getting into marketing, I love it. I love it. But at the same time, there are areas where you feel like you're trying to sell people things they don't need. Mm-hmm. So I would rather go home at the end of the day and feel like I've done that, but I've sold them something that they really need.
Right, right. So, all right, well, let's stop there for a minute and let's switch over to Mariana. Mariana, same question to you.
Okay. Well, I'm Mariana Clement, and I actually moved to Texas in 1998 from Shreveport, Louisiana, where I grew up. Moved to Texas to go to Baylor University in Waco, and I went there for my undergrad and graduate school. I have a undergrad degree in exercise science and a master's in community health education. I was actually an intern at Presbyterian Hospital in 2001 doing all of the same things that I'm doing now, and that's really where my interest in the MS Parkinson's aquatics and just an interest in the senior population really kind of grew there. I grew up very close to my grandparents who lived well into their 90s, and so I think I've always just had a heart for the senior population, and I've always just wanted to do something where I can help people, and not being quite smart enough to make it through medical school or any of that kind of stuff, it was I think going into the fitness industry and working with special populations and seniors is the closest I can get, you know, in that area.
Interesting. So you started to address a little bit about what you do for Texas Health Dallas. Tell us a little bit more about the organization that you work for specifically over at the hospital and what you do for them.
Okay. Well, I'm actually a fitness specialist at Texas Health in the Finley Ewing Cardiovascular and Fitness Center. Say that fast a couple times. As a fitness specialist, I have a pretty broad range of job titles, but the main thing that I focus on is our aerobics program. And through the aerobics program, I have become in charge of the MS Parkinson's Aquatics, and the Parkinson's Tai Chi classes. Those are all under the umbrella of the aerobics program. So I actually teach all of the aquatics classes, and then we have another instructor that is specifically certified in Tai Chi who does those classes. And I just kind of oversee those programs. And then, you know, any type of, I try to do marketing with doctors and educating our participants. And so just kind of a little bit of everything, but I mainly do the actual physical clinical part of the classes that we have.
So tell me, and I want to, I'm going to circle back to Rochelle here in a minute to talk more about the MS Parkinson's initiative in general, but tell me what's different about providing an aquatics or a Tai Chi program directed towards MS, Parkinson's, or other movement disorder patients?
Well, I think, you know, when people initially get diagnosed with these different neurological disorders, they it can be a very tough diagnosis. A lot of people would see it as, you know, almost an end to their normal life. But, you know, a lot of people will initially go right into physical therapy or things like that, and I think these programs that we offer give them an opportunity to do something, A, that they don't have to pay for, or there's very little fee involved, And then B, gives them an area where they can go and socialize and feel a sense of normalcy, just feel like they're being able to do all of the things that everybody else can do on a daily basis.
Do you see a wide variation in abilities of people that come to the classes?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have people, all of these diseases have a range. Every day is different. Every day, you can wake up feeling something different. A portion of your body may not work the same way as it does the day before or the day after. And we have people that come in with caregivers, people that are, they come in a wheelchair and that's, they're transferred into a water wheelchair, and that's where they, that's the amount of movement that they can get is with somebody else, all the way people who still drive themselves there and walk into the water themselves. And
wow. So let me swing back over to Rochelle. Rochelle, if I can back up for a minute and just have you talk a little bit about the movement disorder program at Texas Health Dallas, and give us a little background on that and talk about what you do specifically.
Okay. I am the program coordinator. So basically I'm new to the position. I've only been there about 3 months, and my goal in that time has really been to assess the situation. What do we have to offer? Where are other community resources that we can help, supplement any needs that they have? And at this point, Parkinson's has been one of the main focuses for our hospital, but we also want to recognize that there are other movement disorders. Essential tremor affects about 10 million Americans. It's common, and a lot of people don't understand it. There isn't any treatment, and so people that have that may want to isolate themselves, so they may be dealing with issues like depression or things that aren't specifically related to their symptoms. So that's one area that we would like to add programs. At this point, we are starting our support group for Parkinson's disease on August 19th. So that's one area we identified. There's not an evening support group in the DFW area at this point.
Really? Wow.
Some organizations offer daytime, but that was something that a lot of people are being diagnosed earlier, and so they're still working, and they need that support as well. So that's one area we thought we could add. There's a couple other things that we're working on to kind of round out our services, but it's really just to understand the needs of the community and fill any gaps that are existing at this point is my goal.
Okay, so it's really an education process.
Mm-hmm.
It's providing resources.
Absolutely. I work in the Education and Resource Center, so if someone were to call our line, I collect information from all of the national groups, and if someone calls me and says, I got diagnosed, what do I do? Well, I can pull those resources and mail them or email them. We have a volunteer who has Parkinson's. If they just need to talk to someone that's going through that, she's wonderful. And a lot of times people just want to hear, you've probably had it for a while, even though you just got diagnosed. Nothing's going to change immediately. You're going to continue to live and to have the same life you have now and start taking steps to live well with these disorders. So we do offer, free literature and information and even one-on-one support.
So I guess, first of all, how do people find out about you? Do physicians refer to you, or?
Well, we are between specialists at the moment. Dr. Malcolm Stewart has been, working with our hospital and the movement disorders population in Dallas for over 30 years, and he's currently pursuing research primarily. So we're actively recruiting for a movement disorders specialist. At this point, we have a number of wonderful general neurologists, and word of mouth seems to be the best way, but, you know, we are taking any opportunity we can like this. We're starting a quarterly newsletter. We have wonderful outpatient rehab programs that can help with physical therapy, speech therapy. We have a variety of services, and really Parkinson's and other movement disorders are very complex. They have the tremor that they're known for, but they also have, you know, the gait, you know, it becomes more and more difficult to walk at a normal rate. There's the Lee Silverman, it's called Lee Silverman Voice Training, but there's a big program that our PT, our physical therapists are certified in, and that actually is an intensive 4 week program in which they learn to reuse those, make those big movements and gain back their independence by being able to be more mobile and more active, just carry on their life and really have the best, I guess our goal in all of these programs is just to help them have the best quality of life that they can.
So I probably already asked this and didn't hear your answer, but how did you find the movement disorder program? You said you're relatively new there, 3 months.
Well, I've been very fortunate. I've been with Texas Health Resources for 4 years.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to work as the assistant to the VP of operations at our hospital in Dallas and learned a lot about the different services that the hospital provides. And then I had the opportunity to work in Plano at our hospital with the social workers and the RN case managers. Mm-hmm. So really understanding, you know, more of the day-to-day, what the patient goes through. So when this job opened up, I couldn't apply fast enough.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just a great opportunity, and I feel very fortunate to have it.
That's terrific. So, kind of same question to you, Mariana. How did you find out about this position? How long have you been there? And tell us the story.
I've actually been with the hospital for about a year and a half. But like I said, I was an intern in 2001 and doing my undergraduate internship. And I actually kind of did all of the things that a fitness specialist would do, including teaching these aquatics classes that I'm doing now. And because I was still in undergrad, I went back to Waco and went back to school. And I'd always said if I moved to Dallas, I wanted to come back to Texas Health. It was a wonderful experience. I felt like that's where I was supposed to be. So in moving back here 2 years ago, I started pursuing a career with the CVC again, and actually just kind of fell upon the exact position that I wanted. And it just so happened that it went right with my background, because I do have a background in exercise science and aerobics. And so teaching these classes comes very naturally, and then just becoming educated on the actual neurological diseases is something that I've just kind of started doing in the last year and a half, and have really developed an interest.
Excellent. And what's the best part of your job?
The best part of my job, I think, is when it comes to teaching these aquatics classes, I think the best thing is seeing improvement in people's quality of life. You know, because like I said earlier, every day is different, and some days are good days and some days are bad days, and seeing people who feel supported, you know, it's not just an exercise class. It really is a support group in itself, and we become quite almost like a family. And so no matter how bad they feel, they, for the most part, will show up and do something. And just the fact that, you know, a couple of years ago they may have stayed home. They may have stayed in for a week or 2 weeks, or you know, not ventured out, or not learned to drive again, or whatever it may be. I mean, it's, you know, there's just so, it's such a broad spectrum. It's so much more than exercise.
Is there any particular story that you can think of where you've seen a dramatic result?
I do actually have one that is a story that's, it's pretty miraculous, and it's one that people don't really fully understand. But I do have one lady in class that 18 years ago was actually in a coma. I honestly don't know the background of how she went into that coma, but she'd been diagnosed with MS for about 20, she's been diagnosed for about 20 plus years. And 18 years ago was wheelchair bound. She, you know, she couldn't drive. She couldn't feed herself. Basically, was completely dependent on her husband. And over the last, I guess, over the last 18 years, just she slowly went into remission, which happens a lot with some of these disorders. Different, you know, it's just there's different levels and things that can happen. But a year and a half ago, when I started, she was walking very slowly with a cane. She didn't drive. You know, it was just there was very little confidence in her ability to do things on her own. And over the last year and a half, she developed enough confidence and enough strength through taking these classes 3 days a week that she was able to get rid of her cane and start walking on her own, which that was a big step. That was very exciting for her. And then actually wanted, about 8 months ago, decided she wanted to learn how to drive again. She hasn't driven in 18 years.
Wow.
And started driving with her husband at her side and, you know, little trips here and there. And then actually in December, her husband had a massive stroke. And she was forced to start taking care of him. So the roles reversed.
Wow.
And in the last 4 or 5 months, she has become completely independent. She now takes him to therapy. She's driven out of town. She goes to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. She mows the lawn. You know, just, I mean, it's unreal. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with my class. It's, you know, she has this strength that she's found. But, I mean, it definitely helps to have a social network and to have an area where she can come and exercise and get stronger.
Yeah.
So
wow. What a privilege to be a part of a story like that.
Yeah.
That's terrific. And let me come back to you. What recharges your batteries? Why do you do what you do?
Well, I have had the opportunity. I would really like to thank the Dallas Area Parkinsonism Society. They have an organization that offers free speech therapy group exercise classes, and they have just welcomed me. And so I actually attend about one a week. I attend one of their meetings, and I sit and exercise with all of them. And just seeing the interactions, their positive outlook, the fact that they get up and they develop this network, and, you know, they provide these free of charge. So really just getting to know people, and when they look at me and say, you know, we don't have this. Could you look into that? And knowing, yeah, I can. I can't promise I can do everything, but maybe I can help. That goes a long way.
That's great. So let me ask you for families that are dealing with an initial diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure there's a lot of fear, trepidation,
mm-hmm.
Sense of depression,
mm-hmm.
maybe even. What advice would you give to either the patient
mm-hmm.
Themselves or the family of the patient as they begin to deal with that diagnosis?
Well, I'm going to steal the story from my volunteer, and I hope she'll forgive me, but when she tells her story, she says that when she was diagnosed, she just thought it was the bitter end. She gave away her jewelry, and her daughters now won't give it back, and she's had it for 7 years. She's been diagnosed 7 years. She looks wonderful. She comes in the office and helps me with whatever I need done. She's still living her life. She drives. She attends all the same meetings and functions in church and interacts with her family. So I would just advise people to just take it one day at a time and understand that you're not going to be a different person tomorrow just because you have this diagnosis. You're going to be the same person, and take the opportunity, exercise, keep what you have. You know, take the steps now to just continue living well.
Great advice. And Mariana, how about you? What advice would you give to your clients that are, again, maybe newly diagnosed, but still fundamentally active?
I would say, you know, for clients and for their families or friends or caregivers, do your homework. You know, really delve in and learn about the disease, learn about what it is that you have so that you know, A, what to expect, what maybe the symptoms are, and different things that can happen, but then also so that you know that it's not over. It's
mm-hmm.
not an end of life. It's not, you know, a terminal disease that is, it's something that you can if you put your mind to it, you can stay stay focused and continue to do all the things that you were doing on a daily basis. And those things may change, and they may get, you know, you may do them a little bit slower than you did before. But, you know, I kind of backing what Rochelle said, to just stay in today. Every day is so different, and I think it's so important to just keep your head up and, you know, if you have a bad day today, know that tomorrow may be a good day. Mm-hmm. And it's not over, you know, and just from my background with exercise, just knowing that exercise is just, it's crucial. It's so important, and it can make a true difference in your quality of life and what you're able to do.
Mm-hmm. And not just physically, but mentally. And
mentally, emotionally, socially, it, you know, there's so much that goes into all of this. But, mm-hmm. You know, life goes on, and there are definitely things that you can continue to do.
Yes, thank you. For our listeners that might want to reach you, how would they reach you, Mariana?
I can be reached at either at my desk, and the phone number there is 214-345-4512, and that's at the Finley Ewing Cardiovascular and Fitness Center. Or I can be reached by email, and my email is my full name, Mariana Clement, at texashealth.org.
Very good. And Rochelle, how can our listeners reach you?
Well, they are welcome to call the Movement Disorders Education and Resource Center. That number is 214-345-4224. And then we also have an email set up that's DallasMovementDisorders@texashealth.org.
Okay, and is there a website that people can go to for more information?
Well, they can look at, if they go to texashealthdallas.org and then look in the neurological area, they'll see different neurological disorders, and there'll also be a section on Parkinson's disease.
Very good. Well, both of you, thank you so much for being here with us this morning. And Sam, I'm going to turn it back to you in Atlanta.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Rochelle and Mariana. Great information. We certainly appreciate your input on today's show. Thanks again. Joining us in...
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Joining us in Atlanta, we have two guests. We have first Raquel Bustos. Raquel is a vocalist that specializes in performing and interaction in the senior centers. Good morning, Raquel. How are you?
Good morning.
And also joining us is Chef Bob Brinson. Bob is the owner of Gourmet Innovations Personal Chef, and he specializes in unique and personal meals for the senior population. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Let's begin with you, Raquel. Why don't you begin by telling us just a little bit of your background, who you are, where you're from, how did you get to where you are today?
Well, I'm originally from Atlanta. I attended
unique right there.
There you go. I attended Georgia State University, and for quite a while after I had my children, I was an admin and a corporate meeting planner. Did a lot of volunteering with seniors and just in my church and the overall communities in Atlanta. And being an admin was not really what was lighting my fire. So I sought something that had a little bit more value, something along the lines of volunteering, which I had just done since I was a kid. I always valued giving back, like Rochelle and Mariana mentioned. And so when a position became available at a local assisted living community as an activities director, I applied and was grateful to get the job. And because of my experience as a planner and a volunteer, it just fit perfectly for me, and I knew that I had landed in the perfect spot from you know what I was after, what my gifts and talents were about, and I quickly learned that I got to have fun all day long. You know, that was a job that I got to do. It wasn't something that I had to do, or you know, I didn't get up in the morning dreading my job. I just had a great time every day, and I would sing and engage the residents and we would sing everything they could think of, and
it's really
wonderful.
It's great. You know, we have a number of activities directors from facilities, and they all say the same thing. It's something that's fun that they get to be part of, not that they have to do it.
Absolutely. That's great. Oh, that's good. Good to hear that's the overall message. That's the only way you can do it.
That's great. Tell us, Raquel, what you're now doing.
Okay.
It's a unique situation. And I thought it'd be good for our listeners. And then I want you to tie it into where you're doing it. So we have individuals out there that might be looking for a facility. Maybe you can kind of steer them.
Glad to. When the economy changed, I looked at the opportunity was available at that time to do what I love to do, which was sing. And although I loved being an activities director, singing was really something that meant a lot to me, and so I decided to go ahead and pursue singing all the time at communities and senior centers and wherever I could, you know, find a willing person to hire me. So many people gave me a chance. I knew a lot of people in the industry, and so I went around and just marketed myself and did a lot of volunteering. Now I'm singing in about 75 senior centers, retirement communities, independent living communities. You know, I do weddings and all kinds of things. But I really felt like I had a knack for it. And I can't take the activities director out of what I do. I really engage these folks, and we have an absolutely wonderful time.
Tell us about, you said you really engage the folks.
Yeah.
Tell us how.
Well, that's not hard to do if you love seniors. It doesn't take a long time. I know Rochelle and Mariana know that what it takes to get somebody's attention and to get them engaged. And what I do, I bring my equipment. It's a program that I developed that allows me to have access to tens of thousands of songs. But I will spend 15, 20 minutes with my group if they'll come early to my show, and I'll ask them what they want to hear and get them excited about, you know, the band leaders, the composers, the performers that they knew, that they saw in live performances. You know, they'd sit by the radio, and they were waiting for Perry Como to come on. You know, and they would get their sheet music and run down to their neighbor's house that had a piano, and they'd sing. The music was so important to them. So I take them down memory lane, and then I ask them what they want to hear. And so I actually come with a program that's designed for a general audience. But the more I get to know my audiences, I know what they want to hear, and then I ask them, you know, what do you feel like listening to today? Who's your favorite composer? Who's your favorite singer? Do you like Frank Sinatra? And, of course, you know, hands down, everybody loves Frank. And so we sing a lot of Sinatra tunes. But if my audience will let me go down memory lane, I'll take them back before the turn of the century.
So this is a situation where they are participating.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, performance pieces are wonderful, and I love to sing and perform, but I would much rather have the audience engaged and create going back to memories that made their life so special, whether it was tied to a relationship, a husband or wife, or a, you know, family time, or the war years, or anything that will bring a memory back for them, because science will prove out, and we've heard so many times about Alzheimer's and dementia. Rhythm and music is not affected by dementia and Alzheimer's, and that's good for me because I'll always have a place to do what I love to do. So if I can engage the audience in something that they love. The other day I had a group out in Buford, and all they wanted to hear was Motown. Mm-hmm. So we did a whole lot of Motown.
You're talking my era now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and these were folks that were in their 60s and 70s and some in their 80s. They wanted to hear Boot, Scoot, and Boogie, too. And we had a great time with it. And, you know, I threw my program out the window, and we just did whatever they wanted to do. And I feel like catering to them and dignifying their requests is what I am there to do. For that hour, we have fun. And I make it happen. And
how often do you go back to one particular facility and revisit?
Well, I'm fortunate enough. I have quite a few places that call me back every month and sometimes twice a month. I've been doing this for about 10 years, engaging in senior music. And so I know how it works. I know what they like. I've met some of the finest entertainers that do this in Atlanta. And I just know what works. So I'm very fortunate that they call me back often. And, you know, the hour always goes by quickly. And, you know, I hear things like, when are you coming back? Are you coming back this week? And, you know, how about next week? And of course, you know, I don't have a weekly show yet. But it is just an amazing experience for me. And I just get a great deal of wonderful response from these folks.
Tell us, if you can, a situation, a unique situation, a story where there's been such a positive reaction or interaction to what you're doing.
Well, of course, I could go back to my activities years, and we could talk all day about activities. But in terms of singing to senior audiences, which I've actually only been doing for about 10 months, which is very exciting to me because the response has been awesome. I can't pull up one particular experience because there's so many. Mm-hmm. There's multiples of the same scenario. Oh, you really brought me down memory lane. Oh, I had such a great time. You know, you helped me to remember my childhood. And the singing with me. And the dancing with me. If they can't dance, I'll dance with them as they're comfortably seated in their chairs. And sometimes I'll bring my mom with me, who's 81, and she loves to dance. She's an absolutely great dancer, so she'll lead me around the floor, and we'll just tear it up. And they love that. So she's a great entertainer as well. But the overall story of impact is just that hour takes them to a place where they're truly able to forget things maybe in their everyday life that, you know, maybe they don't want to be in the retirement community they're in, or maybe they're separated from friends that they left so that they could move to Atlanta to be with their children, or whatever their scenario is. For that hour, they're having a wonderful time, and that's my goal.
You know, you can hear the excitement in your voice, and I'm sure there is one particular thing that really, really recharges your battery. You wouldn't continue to do it. So what is that?
It's after every show, I get around, I go around to everyone and I get my hugs.
That's what I
say. And so as I'm hugging these folks, they may be during the show, they may say nothing. They may not sing. They may sit there just completely quiet. And then when I go in to hug them, they'll tell me, oh, that meant so much to me. Thank you so much for coming. And, you know, some of them will even tear up. And so that is my reward.
That's
that
great.
Keeps me coming back.
You mentioned that music, I guess, transcends their predicament that they're in terms of the dimension, everything. How do the people, like, is there ever a situation where the family member is with the person and then you're singing and all of a sudden now the person there is engaged where they may not have been engaged for a long period of time, and then the family member sees kind of a transformation?
Oh, absolutely. I sing to all kinds of audiences. At the senior centers, you have a younger senior group, and the independent communities, you know, they're very independent. I love to go to all of the different environments, assisted living as well as the neighborhoods that are made just for Alzheimer's residents. And sometimes I will have family members that will be seated with a resident, and the resident will start tapping their foot or clapping or singing when, you know, they would go weeks or months without doing that. And then what I find is that when the children of the parents know that I'm going to come, they'll be sure and be there.
Be there.
And because to have mom and dad able to disconnect from inactivity and just come alive. Some of them will dance when they can't walk well with a walker. They'll get up and dance.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so it triggers like some sort of an emotional.
Absolutely. I'm sure the serotonin levels are just going through, you know, barriers that that they don't usually break. So it's an exciting time.
What feedback do you get from the people at the facilities you work at when you come in? They must be very appreciative that you're able to kind of connect with their,
absolutely,
their people at this,
mm-hmm,
level.
Well, that's where I have to say I'm so grateful because I hear things like, we are going to have you back. You know, we will make room in our budget for you. We wouldn't not have you. It's one of those things where they will say, nobody engages our residents like you do. And so, gosh, I can't tell you what that means to me because, it's not, for me, performing is a wonderful thing, but engaging the residents and the audience, whether it's, you know, a senior center or, you know, an Alzheimer's unit. That's what it's about for me.
That's great. I want to ask you, I guess I'm going to ask you to wear two hats with this question, from what you're currently doing, but also from when you're activities coordinator or activities director, rather. If an individual has a loved one that they're looking to put into a facility, whether it be a dementia unit, Alzheimer's unit, or what, what piece of advice could you give that individual as they begin this search?
Well, fortunately, I've had the opportunity and the privilege to be a consultant to many families who are looking for an assisted living community. And so I actually go in with them, take tours, take them to four or five communities in an area. And I live near Cumming, so, you know, I might take a family to the four or five places near Cumming and allow them to take the tours. I would suggest, if somebody doesn't have someone like me, that they find a good friend who's been in the process. If they just ask around, they're going to find somebody who has had this experience with mom or dad or both. And the biggest thing is that derails children in the part of this process is that they feel, they worry about whether they're caring for mom or dad enough. Mm-hmm. They feel guilt feelings, mm-hmm, because they maybe live out of town or they have made choices that, you know, don't allow them to spend as much time. You know, that's a real waste of time. Right now, in the moment, they can do the very best thing that they can do for mom and dad, and that's what occurs to them, to care for them at the highest level possible. And because they deserve it, you know, do the right thing. Don't waste any time on guilt feelings and find a friend that has been in the process, knows what the signs are. Every community reveals itself pretty quickly within the first 10, 15 minutes. You know if your parents are going to be cared for. And they can certainly call on me. I can spot a good one in less than 15 minutes.
And it's nothing like firsthand experience.
Oh, absolutely. I've been, well, of course, now I'm in so many, but I've worked in quite a few and some of the best in Atlanta. So there are many, many good ones.
Raquel, I really appreciate that. That's a great piece of advice. If we have a listener who might want to reach you for a special event and might want to reach out to Music Expressions, mm-hmm, how can they contact you?
Actually, my email address is my first and last name, Raquel Bustos at bellsouth.net. That's RAQUELBUS, like bus, T as in Tom, O S as in Sam, at bellsouth.net. And my phone number is 404-444-6335.
We appreciate it, Raquel. Thanks. That's great information, and I know it's a great service that you're providing to these facilities. Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you very much.
Next up is Chef Bob Brinson, and Bob has a unique service. And before I begin, Bob, I'm going to tell you, I know I get a number of requests for exactly what you do. There is a need out there. So
is that from your wife?
Even though it's from me. So let me begin by, again, introducing you. Bob is the owner of Gourmet Interventions, a personal chef. He specializes in nutrition and healthy meals, somewhat to the senior market. So good morning. How are you? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm doing fine, thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me here. A little bit about me. I grew up in North Carolina. My grandparents grew up in Atlanta, so I guess I'm native Atlantan once removed. And moved down here after I graduated from college. worked in corporate America for 15 years, got an MBA in finance, and just never really enjoyed putting on my suit and tie and going to work every morning. So I was coming up on the 10th anniversary of the company I was working with, and my wife said, you know, you either need to decide to retire with this company or you need to do something else. And you love to cook, so why don't you give that a shot? And I looked around at some different areas. I had a brand new family and didn't want to be a restaurant chef because mm-hmm. the hours are horrible.
Right.
And found the personal chef side of things where I could go into families' homes and busy professionals and prepare meals for them, put them in their freezer for them to eat as they needed. And then probably about 2.5 years ago, met a woman who owned a home care company much like herself. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, some of our caregivers can cook, some can't. Those that can, maybe what they think is a good home-cooked meal is not what a 85-year-old woman who grew up in Atlanta might think is a good meal. And there's really not a service out there to provide good quality nutritional food. There's Meals on Wheels, but if you don't qualify for that,
right,
or you're not in one of their zip codes or not on one of their volunteer routes, there's really nothing available. And so I started doing some research and looking around and seeing if there was any other company that did something like that, and there wasn't. And it really sort of dovetailed into sort of my passion, which is cooking and cooking healthy, quality food. And so I started doing some marketing and reaching out to people and getting into the senior market and started my business, the senior meal delivery side of my business.
Well, let's dovetail or segue off of that. Tell us about that. Tell us what you do for the senior population. How do you meet? As I said, I get calls that from loved ones, from children all the time that says, you know, we need someone to come out for 2 hours a day and prepare a meal or two because my parents are not eating. So take that, run with it. Tell us how you meet that need.
Okay. A couple ways. First off, what I do is we deliver meals every 2 weeks. The meals come frozen, but it's a complete meal and then it's an entree and two side dishes. Where we meet the nutritional part of it all of our food is fresh. Shop the day that we cook. There's no additives, no preservatives. Everything's made from scratch. All the sauces are homemade. I only use fresh herbs, spices. It's naturally low in sodium. And there's a menu that the clients get to pick from. And it's a well-balanced meal. And what's nice is they get a choice in terms of what they want to have. So it's not like I'm showing up with pork chops or meatloaf if they don't like that sort of thing. They actually get a chance to make a decision. And I also, on the menu, I typically have beef and pork and chicken and fish, and there's quite a variety. And also I have an enormous amount of recipes that I've developed over time, and so I don't typically repeat any recipes for at least 3 to 4 months unless there's a big demand for it. Like, yeah, I do have some things where they always ask, you know, is it going to be on the menu next time? And I say, well, you know, let's wait a little bit and we'll put it back on the menu.
So they have the opportunity to go through some type of menu and I guess order and give you this written menu so that you can prepare or know at least what to deliver to them.
Yes, it's a set menu that I come up with. And as I said, I deliver every 2 weeks. And so when I deliver, I bring them the new menu for the next delivery date. And so they get a chance to fill it out, and they can either call me, or I have some clients that are web savvy, and they can email me, or in some cases, the actual children looking after their parents will make the decisions mm-hmm. for the parents. Mm-hmm. And that's how I can determine how much of what I need to make and then set up my delivery routes and then deliver to the clients.
Do you customize meals based or driven by specific nutritional requirements, such as a diabetic diet or something along those lines?
Well, the food itself is naturally low sodium because we don't use any processed foods and it's all fresh. The meals are in the range of probably 500 to 700 calories. Mm-hmm. I use very little fats, you know, typically canola oil, olive oil. Don't fry anything. It's pretty much all grilled. Or
you were telling a good story till you started talking about no fat, not frying things.
I lost
my interest there.
You can get a lot of flavor out of fresh herbs and spices and things like that. We do offer diabetic friendly meals. Those are strict portion control, and we take a look at general basic dietary requirements for diabetics. But typically, what I find is that most clients order the diabetic meals once, and they typically go and want the full meal, and they just say they'll adjust their diets accordingly afterwards. So,
now, what about if somebody's like picky, like they don't like mushrooms or mayonnaise or some ingredient? Is that something that you accommodate, or the meal is as is, and they have to deal with it?
We have a little bit of flexibility. I mean, obviously the menu is set, and there's a wide enough variety that if you don't like fish, you don't have to order the fish. But we do have some flexibility in terms of side dishes. Like, I have one lady who absolutely will not eat green peas, and so if that's on the menu, but we have carrots on the menu, what I may do is I'll...
Like swap it or
swap it out, yes.
What area in Atlanta do you service?
I cover pretty much all of North Metro Atlanta. I have my kitchen where I produce the food is in downtown, and so I currently have a client out in Carrollton. I go as far up as Lawrenceville.
So you have to physically take it to them?
Yes.
Or they come to you?
No, we deliver, and that's one of the nice things about our business is we deliver ourselves, and oftentimes we deliver right into the freezer for the client. And so... we get a chance, number one, to spend a little bit of time with them. Mm-hmm. And also it's another point of contact for a care manager or a family member, because we are spending some time with them. If we see that, mom or dad doesn't look right, or, the house is sort of a mess, or the food's being, not being eaten, one of two things has happened and something's wrong, or maybe they just didn't like it, which I have had happen, not very often, but it does every so often. Obviously we're happy to give those folks a call and say, hey, look, I dropped off food today and mom just doesn't look that great. Maybe you might want to check in on her.
Now, you typically deliver one meal a day. Is that what this is?
The minimum order is 7 meals, and it's every 2 weeks.
So it's one meal every other day then would be the minimum?
Would be the minimum. But
so this is like typically a dinner for the person? And,
yes.
And I like this program better. I've seen other ones where it's every meal.
Right.
And that seems too restrictive. Like, that means they can never go out. They can never do anything else. So one meal a day or meal every other day gives them that flexibility. If they want to go out or have other options, they have it. But at least they're getting this healthy choice, one solid good meal once every day or so.
Exactly. And, obviously they can order more if you want. I mean, I have some clients that are homebound that they have to eat my food all the time.
They have to. Right?
That's right. But then, I tried to make it, when I sat down and developed the program, tried to make it so that the folks weren't inundated and felt overwhelmed with the amount of food. And so it gives them the option. And some clients can get 2 servings out of one meal depending on their appetite, or maybe like a full dinner and a light lunch. So just depending on how much they eat.
Do you prepare any other meals besides the dinner? Do you do a breakfast or anything along those lines?
I don't at this point. It's primarily just the dinners themselves right now.
And so you give them how many choices for them to pick their 7?
I give them 7 choices.
So there's 7 choices, but they can, if they wanted 7 of one thing, that you're good with that?
Yes, sure.
That's cool.
Yeah, they can order whatever they want. Like I said, if they love meatloaf, they can order 7 meatloafs. It's not... up to me.
So you say you don't repeat, but do you have like similar things like that show up, or do you try to hit like a red meat, a chicken, a fish? Like, do you have a rotation like that?
Yeah, typically what I do on each menu, there's usually going to be a couple of beefs. I usually have a vegetarian option just in case, because some people, as the baby boomers are getting older, there are more and more vegetarians out there. Usually try to have a seafood, maybe a pork dish, and definitely chicken. It just kind of depends on when I'm sitting down at the first of each month to prepare the menus, just sort of what I feel like cooking and what sort of also kind of goes together.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do desserts or anything along those lines?
Typically what I do is I deliver a dessert. It's not a set menu. It's just sort of whatever I feel like cooking that day. So But I always bring something sweet because you always got to have little something. So cookies, brownies, cake, that sort of thing.
So you got my attention again.
Sam's
yeah, that's right.
Language there.
Obviously, Bob, with your MBA, being in the corporate world, there's something about what you're doing that tickles your fancy. What is it that keeps you going? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Well, you know, number one, I love to cook, and I've been cooking since I was a little kid, helping my mom out, and so that's one thing. Gives me a chance to really sort of pursue my passion, and they always say, do what you love to do, and so that's part of it. The other part of it is, and it was sort of unexpected when I started doing this, but the chance to meet these folks mm-hmm. and interact with them and enjoy the richness that they've had in their lives, and they're so willing to share it. And it's amazing the people that you meet and how small the world is. I mean, I have a client who grew up about 10 miles from where I grew up. Mm-hmm. Now, he had since moved and been all around the country, but you know, he knew Charlotte. That's where I grew up. He knew Charlotte back when it was, you know, farm roads right, and cow right. pastures and things like that. So it's really been neat to kind of meet these folks and learn about their lives, and that's really been one of the greatest parts of it.
Yeah, I got a saying that we close each show by a little saying, and we talk about the seniors being this nation's greatest national treasure, mm-hmm. and I think that's exactly what you just spoke to.
Right, it is.
Yeah, I love going in, and if I'll just shut up and listen, it's amazing what you hear and the wisdom that you get out of their experiences.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure. Bob, for our listeners who might have a loved one that is just not eating well, and from the nutrition standpoint, they don't know what to do, what piece of advice could you give those people as they try to put together a plan for that individual?
Well, it's funny because I'm also teaching a class this summer, Healthy Cooking for One, mm-hmm. And one of the things we talk about are nutritional tips. And probably the biggest thing is if they can get access to a grocery store, is to stay away from the stuff that's in the middle of the middle of the aisles, is to shop the perimeter of the store, try and eat as varied a colored diet as you can, lots of fruits and vegetables, and really try and maintain a good level of protein, because mm-hmm. that helps with muscle mass, and nutrition is so important as you get older in terms of recovering from illness and surgery and just keeping a healthy lifestyle and maintaining your independence. So try and eat as wide a variety of diets as possible.
That's a great piece of advice. Let me kind of go out of order here, and let me ask you another question. I once heard from a nutritionist, and maybe you can speak to this, is that as we age, we lose our the acute sense of smell, which then means we lose our sense of taste. I know that seniors love spicy and salty.
Right.
Is that an offshoot of that? Is that?
It's true, and spicy and salty hit the same taste buds. Mm-hmm. And yes, as you do get older, you lose the sense of smell and you lose your sense of taste. Mm-hmm. And so that's why things that you might used to like,
yeah.
don't like anymore, but there's ways that you can perk that up, either by throwing in a handful of fresh herbs or a little citrus or a little hot sauce.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It just sort of kind of wakes up those taste buds that are sort of have gone dormant.
Yeah, I understand that. For our listeners, Bob, who might, as I said, have this situation and directly need your services, why don't you tell them how they can reach you?
Sure. You can reach me via cell phone at 404-797-7323. You can also view my website at gourmetinnovationsinc.com. And on there is a whole, explains the program. There is the new menu. I post that every 2 weeks, so you can take a look at that. Or you can email me at chefbob@gourmetinnovationsinc.com.
That's good information. I suspect you are going to get some calls. I know what
from
this service
Sam.
Is. Well, yeah,
family.
Great information, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also thank Raquel. Thank you for being with us. Again, a great service, and look forward to hearing you have you back and have you do a show just with your talents.
Happy to. Thank you.
That's it for today. We once again thank our guests for joining us, and we thank for our listeners for tuning in. And if you'd like to listen to the recording of today's broadcast, you can do so at eugeriaradio.com. And in closing, if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of our nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you. Have a good day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.